This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The first reports last night were that there'd been an earthquake near the Korean Peninsula. And then the political scientists took over from the seismologists, and it became North Korea's third nuclear test. Victor Cha is a professor of Asian studies at Georgetown University. Professor, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So I have to tell you, I saw this news last night and did a little putting two and two together, North Korea being an impoverished state and thermonuclear weapons being really, really expensive. How can they afford to do this?
Well, the economy, Kai, is certainly a decrepit economy, but it's still somewhere in the range of $1 billion in terms of annual production.
Yeah.
In addition, they devote about 30% of the entire nation's resources to the military and to development of weapon systems. So their people are starving, but they're able to do this.
What resources do they have? I mean, it's not like they are, you know, rich in lots of things that people want to buy.
Well, that's true. I mean, they do have a lot of actual minerals in the northern part of the peninsula that they are selling a lot of to China these days. In terms of the nuclear program, they have some homegrown nuclear scientists presumably trained at some point outside the country. And if they are testing this time a uranium device, they have a lot of uranium ore through which they can produce weapons in the future.
Where, though, do they get the cold, hard cash to do this? Are the Chinese and the Iranians and, I don't know, maybe the Pakistanis maybe actually giving them cash to buy the centrifuges that they need?
It's a good question. Simple answer is we don't know. A lot of what their proliferation financing comes out of is illicit activities and front companies that are run by the military that do, in some cases, legal, but in some cases, illegal business with China and with other countries. Counterfeiting has been another thing that they've used. Selling of fake pharmaceutical drugs and cigarettes. All this has been part of a licit and illicit economy that has produced enough hard currency that they're able to buy things on the open market to help produce their programs, the stuff they can get around U.N. sanctions, of course.
Well, speaking of sanctions, the U.N. Security Council is meeting today. There may or may not be something coming out of this. The Chinese are said to be irritated, so maybe they won't veto it. How much more can you sanction a nation that is already so impoverished and heavily sanctioned?
Well, they are heavily sanctioned. They've been heavily sanctioned since the Korean War. But I think this next tier of sanctions will really go after individual assets and bank accounts of companies and individuals who they think are involved in this sort of illicit activity. I mean, in the end, the sanctions are not going to stop the nuclear program. They'll at best slow it down. But at the same time, what else is the UN going to do? I mean, I think they are going to go forward with a resolution that will call for a tighter tier of these so-called financial sanctions.
Let me back you up for a minute. They've got a billion-dollar economy. They spend 30% of it on their nuclear and missile program. So they're doing everything else in that country on $600 million.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, and there's not a whole lot else besides that. I mean, people in the city of Pyongyang live a fairly stable existence, but the majority of the population lives outside the capital city. You know, the population of 22 million lives outside the capital city, and they're really fending for themselves and trying to live off, you know, what few scraps they can get from the government and what else they can scrounge for themselves. So if that's the way you run your country, you can develop a nuclear program.
Victor Cha, he's a professor of Asian studies at Georgetown. Professor, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Sure, it's my pleasure.